Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Florida, you play good defense without fouling.
And Banks is left all the way down by the Iowa bench. And here we go. 8.9 to play. Sturts with the catch. Sturts bounce pass to the corner. Fulgaris for three.
Yeah! Oh!
Nine to play.
Florida's got no timeouts.
Iowa takes the lead by one. And a timeout called.
Now, I think the officials are checking the clock.
By the officials to make sure the clock is right.
Alvaro Fulgaris is the stuff of nightmares if you're a Florida fan, because after a nip-and-tuck game where Florida was mostly trailing most of the game, it was, you know, back and forth, but, you know, at the end, they managed to get ahead by one, and they managed to get fouled and make one, putting them up. Count it with me. One plus one makes two with 9 seconds to go, 8.9 to be precise. Iowa manages to do the kind of, like, you know, out route pass into half court. He does a sort of like a relay out route to the guy down in the corner. That's Fulgaris on the right-hand side in three-point land. And you're like, what's going to – oh! All net. Up one by Iowa with – well, you know, it was three, but then they looked at the, like, I think it was like 2 point something, and then they did what they do in these short time scenarios. They looked at the replay, and it was 4.5. I think you could argue 4.4, but, you know, a tenth of a second here or there. It's fine. And then Florida has a chance to be the heroes. Down one, number one seed, returning national champions, trying to advance to the Sweet 16 over number nine seed Iowa. And how'd they do?
Florida can run the baseline. Condon will inbound it to Lee. Lee across midcourt. Lee speeding toward the basket. Lee leaves it underneath. That's it! Iowa, for the first time since 1999, will head to the Sweet 16 as they knock off the defending national champs.
Now, look, I'm not a UF fan. You know, I don't have any particular stake in this. Is David Wayne, as an Iowa guy, David, you want to take your moment? You'll have another chance throughout the show, by the way. You want to take a moment here as an Iowa guy?
Okay, I love Florida, and I'm sorry. But
you don't have to say that.
The Hawks are my team.
You do not have to pretend.
The Hawks are my team.
When Auburn beats Alabama in 50 years, I will not say...
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't want to
upset the apple cart.
Say it.
But go Hawks. I love you. Know, this was exciting.
It was exciting.
It's exciting.
It was really exciting. Now, for me, I don't have
Iowa
any...
people don't get a lot of don't get a lot to celebrate.
No,
you know?
I've got nothing invested in this game other than, where did I go to school? Illinois is a key theme in my take on last night's events. First of all, Illinois advanced over VCU to the Sweet 16. So they will now play Houston. And if they beat Houston, then they will play the winner of what's now going to be Iowa and Nebraska. So I'm thrilled that the number one seed returning champions is out of my quarter. Like, that's fantastic news. Because now what's that say in the middle of the winning circle there, John?
It says, Illini.
Oh. All the way. Always vote with your heart and your bracket. Never, because you never want to be in the weird position of voting, like hoping the team you really want to win loses because you picked them to lose in the bracket. No. You pick your heart all the way. I never win. I do not care. I got Gonzaga's my other half, so I'm done. But if the Illini win at all, you know, then I'm in good shape. So I'm thrilled about that. That's a theme in today's morning show. The other half of my joy, and it's a hard one to pick. I wasn't really happy to see Florida lose, except for it gives Illinois a better chance. I was super happy to see Kansas St. John's.
Allowing them a lot of time. Now Bill Self and his staff.
3.9 left after Kansas. Like, Kansas had two fouls at the end of, like, 15 seconds left. And so they had three to give before they started giving free throws, and they almost fouled St. John's out to overtime. But they did not. They left in 3.9 seconds.
Allowing them a lot of time. Now Bill Self and his staff making sure they know no fouls.
This is going to be Darling. He's got to go. Darling puts it up.
Yes. Dylan Darling.
He's going to the Sweet 16.
Also for the first time since 1999. Now, that's a 5-4. That's not quite as big of an upset, but I noticed Fox News Top of the Hour did play that clip as well. Those were the two big events last night. So St. John's had been winning this game all day. Like, all day they were winning. And then finally, Kansas went on like a 23-4 streak or some crazy thing at the end of regulation. Got it back to where they were actually ahead and then, you know, got to back to be tied. And so at 3.9 left, Dylan Darling drives the lane, makes the bucket. St. John's advances over Kansas. Now, I know in Mark's honor, who we all remember Mark, our news guy for a long time, who passed away about 5 years ago, dear friend, Mark would, I wouldn't have said anything if Mark had been here because Mark was a big Kansas fan. But I will say that I love to see Bill Self lose. Because?
Please tell me.
He used to be the coach of Illinois until Kansas poached him and went on a massive winning streak, becoming the world-beating coach of all whatever, all the wins that Kansas has had since then. So you know how
so you're kind of bitter.
You know how Urban Meyer went to Ohio State from where?
From Florida?
You know how Florida people hate Urban Meyer and love to see Ohio State lose?
Yeah.
Same for me for Bill Self. Also, interesting note, Florida fans, it's not the right sport, but you did get to see TCU beat an Ohio State University. You see the trolling on this?
Yes.
That was my favorite troll from over the weekend when TCU beat Ohio State and the fans are holding up an Ohio State University. It's awesome. I love it. All right. So I did pick that one because also I like to vote with my heart and I will always vote to see Ohio State lose. And it was a reasonable pick, but I got to be honest, I had seen it on social media. I was on the cruise. So I didn't even have a bracket. Like, it was Orange Night. Holland America has Orange Night. That's their theme color. And I was wearing a Auburn shirt. My wife was wearing an Illinois shirt because that's where she went. I went, but I also support Auburn. And somebody asked my wife, hey, did they actually win? And I'm like, shut up. You know, I don't want to know yet. You know, I actually had forgotten it was tournament day. This was Thursday. I had forgotten the tournament even started because I'm on the ship. I didn't have Wi-Fi or nothing. I just disconnected. I didn't know anything. I mean, the war could have been over. You know, California could have seceded. I wouldn't have known, you know, at all. Anyway, so
Texas first. Illinois went,
what's that?
Texas first. Texas.
Texas isn't going anywhere.
They're going to succeed eventually.
Succeed or secede? Which one do you mean? I know what you said. Which one do you mean? Since you're from Texas, I'm assuming you meant the latter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Should I make fun of you?
No.
All right.
Not today. It's early.
You want to give a shot at saying it the right way, though?
I want to give a shot to say, welcome back, my friend. It was a long week without you.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside. Come inside. Okay. All right. Yeah. I had a lot of coffee and no sleep. I couldn't sleep. I didn't get any sleep last night. Because I got too much sleep on the cruise.
Oh,
and then I was
food?
Up late. No, I mean, maybe, but you know, and then I was up late and it was one of those, like, I made a mistake, which normally is not an issue. I had coffee late. I mean, like at 10, normally not an issue. I have, for whatever reason, I might've gotten 20 minutes of sleep last night.
Oh, I can tell.
I was sitting in the bed like, this is not great for me going back on the air.
What, the Florida?
Thinking about women peeing in an Airbnb for money. I mean, like, I'm just, you know, like, all the things that are running through my head. Speaking of, you know, Pensacola made national news for three stories last week. Two of them are really bad. One of them is hilarious. I mean, it's not hilarious for the people who own the Airbnb, but this is still a pretty funny story. Because, you know, the thing about this story is not the story, really. I mean, the real thing about this, oh man, this is almost, do I really want to talk? I know Bobby talked about this on Friday. It's the fact that there are men out there who pay money
to see some hot chick do that. What? I mean, the world is full of super creepy, weird people. And that's not the super creepy, weirdest of all the things in the world. That's just sort of like, you know, B plus weirdness. Listen, I try hard to have a good attitude about the world and people, and, you know, I hang around with mostly normal people plus John. You know, and
thanks.
Well, you know,
plus John.
And and you know, I try to believe that the world is basically made up of sensible, reasonable, non-imbeciles. You know?
Sorry. I had something in my throat.
I know. But then, again, you see a story like this, and look, this poor girl, hot though she is just responding to market forces.
Supply and demand. Okay, I get it. You know?
She's just doing what the invisible hand... Well, maybe that's not the best metaphor. What the?
Yeah, wait a second.
No, but seriously, you know what the invisible hand of the market does is it teaches you by paying you for giving people what they ask for in this beautiful system called capitalism that does not always get it right ethically. And bless her heart, I suppose. You know, if there's a money flowing, other things are flowing. Anyway, so, you know... Now, there's one part of this story. I'm gonna move on from this story. I might come back to it later, but it's because it's a funny story, with all the two really awful stories from Pensacola that made national news. Really awful stories, right? So, one involving the wreck. That was a horrible story, and then the super weird one involving the patrol deputy at PPD. Like that's its. You know the story, John? Did you guys not talk about this on Friday? This is the HIV positive. No. Oh, so you got
to cover it.
You got a officer who's HIV positive, and he's fooling around with this woman for 4 months. She gets pregnant, doesn't tell her he's HIV positive. She only learns it because his other baby mama saw her on social media bragging about the pregnancy, and then they, like, got in contact with each other. This is how the story goes. And now he's... been arrested for, it's a law. You can't have sex with somebody if you're HIV positive without telling them. He says when she confronted him about it, he says it's because he knew he was not contagious. That is not what the law says. The law doesn't say as long as you're not contagious, whether you are or not is irrelevant. The point is the law says you have to disclose. And allegedly he did not. You didn't see that story? That's a bad story. Yeah. And, of course, the other story with the mom, which is horrible. I don't want to really talk about that story. Not too much. Not yet. Anyway. But back to the lighthearted stuff. You know, Airbnb.
That's good.
Come on! I mean, come on! David, you want to give me some love on that one?
Okay. Yeah, that was good.
And you won a Marconi.
I know. Do I have it?
And you want a Marconi.
Come on, Airbnb is pretty good. I'm probably not the only one who thought of it, but I did see another one that made me really laugh, and I want to see if I can find the one, because there was one take on that story that somebody, I think it was the New York Post, that really did make me laugh out loud. Hold on. This will be worth your time if I can get there. Not that one. No, that's the HIV story. Not that one. Where is it? Okay, so, no, that's the WAR with Mike Wood very stoically reporting that she was, there was a young lady inside making money in a very unusual way that damaged somebody else's property. Well done, Mike. Well done. Absolutely earning your pay of not, you know. All right, David, you ready? Is his mic on?
All right.
I want an authentic reaction to this. The lead line from the New York Post, she was streaming live.
Oh.
Okay, but I'm supposed to have great sympathy for the owner of the Airbnb. And it turns out, I think they're not thinking about this the right way. So if there are disgusting, filthy men, as a man, I have to say, I know some, you know, there are not in this room, who will pay good money to watch this level of obscenity. They're complaining that they had all this stuff destroyed. Wrong. They had all this stuff made valuable. If only they sell it in the right location. Don't throw out the TV and the typewriter and the, God, the rug and the chair and the other rug and the vase. No. This is like Porn Bay selling stuff. Like, you go make an auction out of this. Because, first of all, it's now, like, at least national famous story. People love to buy memorabilia. I don't want to go down the road of what else they like to buy, but let's just say all the other lurid, awful, terrible ways in which you can imagine these items acquiring value, they have it. Am I wrong? Think, if anything, maybe you offer her a slice of the profits.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At PennAir Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights, 7 to 10, on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Well, then I got a big bad bear story for you out there. I just rolled past a County Mountie roadblock down there.
You are a silver-tongued devil.
That's a big 10-4, good buddy.
Well, you keep your wheels spinning and the beavers grinning in, huh? I'm out.
Good morning, 529 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It just makes John happy every time I play a clip from Smoking the Bandit.
Oh, it does.
You know, okay, so I'm going to give you a cruise whinge story. The cruise is great. Holland America is great. I don't know if I should say it.
What'd you do?
No, but on an hour of sleep, I got to be careful what I let my mouth get away with.
So you made it back from foreign countries, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
They let you back in.
And Holland America is great. Holland America is not Carnival.
Right.
Okay, it's Carnival's like twin. It's like the Acura to Honda, you know, it's like the more relaxed, calmer, nicer, high class version of Carnival, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Carnival without the dirty jokes. Okay. Ooh. Kinda, and the partying and the drinking. Well, there's a lot of drinking still. My wife described it to me as Holland America, newlywed or nearly dead.
Oh.
And she was not wrong. We were the young ones.
Oh, yes.
All the music trivia was like 60s and 70s, maybe some 80s. It's kind of funny. The reason I mentioned that is because there was going to be a movie trivia thing on the last night, and I was so excited because finally, I know music,
right?
But finally movies. Like, I'm in. What would you have a movie trivia night be except movie quote, identify the movie, right? It's the most
right,
natural
that's what
thing.
No.
They took 10 movies that were like Ghost and E.T. and Jaws, and the two guys acted out scenes from them. It was hilarious. You know, like with Ghost, you know.
Right.
The cruise director sitting behind the youth cruise director spinning the pottery, you know, that kind of thing. It was very funny. But for a guy who was all worked up to finally get my big win on trivia, whatever. Denied. No, but we did have a good time. Oh, I saw Cuba from two sides.
You did?
The east side and the southwest side, yeah. The lights were on when I drove by. See? I can make it about current events if I have to.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Deadly collision at LaGuardia Airport.
Stop. Truck one, stop. Stop, truck one. Stop.
The voice of air traffic control, that from flightradar24.com. The fire truck and an Air Canada flight landing at the airport, smashing into each other on the ground. Port Authority Commissioner Catherine Garcia.
Sadly, the two pilots are confirmed deceased, and notifications are being made by Air Canada's care team at this time.
The destruction that was done to this plane and that fire truck. The front of the plane is completely torn off. And then the fire truck it hit is severely damaged.
Fox Dodger Strohmeyer scores injured some severely. President Trump says he's sending ICE agents to airports to help TSA agents working without pay due to the partial government shutdown. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 62 degrees right now with clear skies. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. A Pensacola nonprofit drew more than 200 people over the weekend to a community expo offering resources for jobs, mental health, housing, financial literacy, and legacy planning. PCS Outreach Ministries founder Priscilla Sapp Kirkland says the Invest in Your Community Expo grew out of family conversations that her family had about building a better future.
To really see a change, right now there is a stigma, it's been a stigma about life insurance, you know, about even mental health. And we just want to have more transparent conversations just in order to see a change.
More than 40 vendors participated, including the Pensacola Fire and Police Departments, mental health organizations, and financial literacy resources. Florida is the busiest state in the country for immigration arrests as of 2025, according to figures reported by the New York Times. ICE agents under the Miami field office, which covers all of Florida, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, are averaging around 120 arrests every day. As of March 10th, nearly 9,900 arrests had been logged, which puts Florida ahead of every other region in the nation, including Minnesota, where a high-profile enforcement surge drew national attention. A man using a walker was taken to the hospital after being hit by a car crossing North Century Boulevard on Friday. Officials say a sedan hit the man near Century Food Mart. His injuries were not considered life-threatening. Pensacola tourism is outpacing last year's numbers, with tourism development tax collections up more than 23% in January and February compared to the same period in 2025. Visit Pensacola CEO Darren Schaefer says occupancy has been consistently up over the winter. He's crediting good weather, strong marketing, and a recent Condé Nast designation, naming Pensacola the number one beach in the United States. Schaefer says this year could be a standout one for tourism in the area. Well, NAS Pensacola will be closed for public visitation today. The installation announcing last week that the National Naval Aviation Museum and Pensacola Lighthouse are now accessible only on Saturdays and Sundays. The base will be closed to the public Monday through Friday. That'll be until further notice. Visitors that don't have a military ID and want to go next weekend will have to check in at the Visitor Control Center at the main gate on Navy Boulevard, then enter through the West Gate on Blue Angel Parkway. West Destin Beach getting a makeover. This story from News Radio's Chris Bryan. He says that project will be starting today.
A nearly $10 million beach restoration project begins today in West Destin. The Okaloosa County project going to help with erosion caused by Hurricane Sally back in 2020. Over 150,000 cubic yards of sand will be dredged. Now, the project stretches from the jetty to the east side of South Bay. That is right by the Gulf Condos. It is dredging first, with the actual pumping and renourishing of the beach getting underway in April. Weather depending, of course. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's 5:35 at News Radio, and let's get a check on our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures this afternoon near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Tuesday, sunny skies, high near 79. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Going into Wednesday, sunny skies, high near 77. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got clear skies at 62 degrees. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A jury has found Elon Musk liable for misleading investors by deliberately driving down Twitter stock price in the months leading up to his 2022 acquisition of the social media company for $44 billion. However, it absolved him of some fraud allegations, finding that he did not scheme to mislead investors. Supermicro Computer said Yi Xian Lau has resigned from its board, effective immediately after the co-founder was arrested by the Justice Department for helping smuggle billions of dollars of AI chips to China. Shares of the artificial intelligence server maker rose 2% in trading after the bell, after closing the session down over 33%. SpaceX and Tesla will build two advanced chip factories at a facility in Austin, Texas. CEO Elon Musk said one will power cars and humanoid robots. The other will be designed for artificial intelligence data centers in space. Futures are moderately lower after Trump's ultimatum to Iran. On Friday, the Dow lost 443. That's your money now.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pep Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pep Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip, 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 dip. Boom, boom, boom. Gotta get 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 dip. Boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Yo, we've seen what it's doing now in terms of attacking ports, airports, civilian infrastructure, yes, hotels, resorts, and what it's trying to do to global energy supplies. One can only imagine if it had a nuclear umbrella. One could only imagine if Iran, yeah, achieved its aim to test, then you have Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm, wanting a nuclear program, then perhaps the UAE, Turkey, or others. And when people ask, why does this matter to our security here at home, it should petrify every American that you could potentially have a nuclear Middle East awash in weapons.
Well, they're not enriching. They weren't enriching leading up to this. This is what U.S. officials have testified to. But just on this point about what the president...
You know how I'm always telling you that like some of these Sunday morning show hosts, like Kristen Welker, is this is not her, okay? But she is just not up to the task. Margaret Brennan tries hard, you know. She is also not really up to the task usually. Kristen's like a D minus, and you know Margaret Brennan's like a C minus, C whatever. At least CBS has good guest bookers. You know, they got Mike Waltz on. You know, I mean, seriously, CBS, the reason I watch Face the Nation is because back from the days of John Dickerson and even before him, I mean, they, you know, they've always had the best guest bookers. Kind of like how, honestly, NPR, you know, used to, not on 1A, but when Diane Rehm, you know, was on there, you know, a long time ago. I mean, they, good Lord, they would book the best guests. Like their roundtable discussions, fantastic. And then they went through their changes and they hired a, you know, hired the guy who hosted 1A for a short period of time, and they just completely ruined it. Anyway, guest booking is a very complicated thing for an interview-oriented program, and Face the Nation has always had great, great guest booking. So I watch it because they usually have the right people on there. But, you know, Margaret Brennan is just... Anyway, so, well, you know, they didn't have the ability to enrich uranium. Duh, because we bombed the bleep out of them a year ago. Which, to his credit, Mike Waltz points out.
Well, they couldn't enrich because of Operation Midnight Hammer that obliterated their ability to enrich. They had every intent to continue.
They do.
Oh, and then she's going to try to make it better. Like, I do know something about their nuclear ability. They've got a nuclear reactor. I know all about it.
Do have a nuclear power plant, Bushehr. Mm-hmm. It's right. Actually their largest energy plant. It's a civilian site.
So it's actually not their largest energy plant. It's about one gigawatt. They have larger ones that are gas fired outside of Tehran.
Okay,
just case in point.
Okay, yeah. but in this case,
she's trying so hard to say something knowy. You know, I know something. I know about this one reactor, and you know, to his credit, Mike Walls didn't laugh at her. That's actually not their biggest one. That's actually a pretty small one. What did he say? It's 1 gigawatt, or did he say
1.21 gigawatts?
Oh, it's even bigger than we thought. So, poor girl, there she is, trying to hold her own and not doing a great job of it, as happens.
In that clarification, the reason...
But by the way, the basic point is a sound one. It's not like they were trying to not have nuclear weapons. They were doing everything they could to have them. We destroyed their ability to have them a year ago, and they had been doing what they could to get back into that condition, I don't know, by building... Remember we talked about this? The Marco Rubio argument that they had been building conventional warheads so that they could create a deterrent shield around the possible future nuclear program. Like, think about this multiple steps in advance, because they sure do. Anyway, so that was the point, is we don't want them getting them, and the danger of them having them is a real national interest to everybody.
In that clarification, the reason I'm asking you is when the president says he's going to bomb energy infrastructure, civilian mm-hmm. energy infrastructure, is he going to bomb a nuclear power plant, or is that off the table?
Well, I would never...
By the way, that's not really the interesting question that you think it is, Margaret, or, I mean, anybody. I mean, yes, generally you don't want to bomb nuclear sites, I guess. But you have to understand a little bit about how nuclear works in order to understand that, like, bombing a nuclear a power plant does not mean you get a nuclear explosion. All right, John, I'm going to come to you as a man on the street. You know some stuff.
Yeah.
You've read the Bible how many times?
Eight or
10, 20, whatever.
A lot.
Yeah, you've got an accounting degree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know some stuff. If I have a nuclear weapon, okay, sitting in front of you, you know, the kind that Arnold Schwarzenegger faced in True Lies, okay? Actual warhead. And somebody drops a bunker buster on top of me, holding it, right? You know, mm-hmm. big old bomb. Moab, the mother of all bombs. You know, the one you see when you're driving by the Armaments Air Force Museum over in Eglin. Okay, big bomb. Do you or do you not get a nuclear explosion?
I think you would.
No, you absolutely do not.
You do not?
You absolutely do not.
Why?
Because a nuclear explosion is based on reaching critical mass. Critical mass is a very complicated scenario in which the density of the nuclear material reaches a certain point at which the reaction becomes self-sustaining, accelerates almost instantly, and creates what you would think of as a nuclear explosion. In order to make that happen, have you ever seen a nuclear warhead? Kind of like, you've seen movies like The Peacemaker. There's been other movies where they show that. Okay, it's not. It's uranium or plutonium. The difference doesn't matter for this particular explanation. surrounded by a bunch of shaped explosives. Very roughly looks like a geodesic dome made out of Claymore mines. It's as close as I can get picturing it, okay? The idea is that all of those little explosives have to explode inward at the same exact time in order to compress the nuclear material down to such a degree that it reaches, what's the word?
Critical
mass. The density of the material is of such a degree that you get that self-sustaining instantaneous explosive reaction. If half of the explosives don't work and it only goes one way, you don't reach critical mass. It's a very complicated thing to make all that happen at exactly the same time. I mean, you're talking, you know, nanoseconds of error, okay? So if you drop a big bomb on top of a nuclear warhead, what you get at worst is a dirty bomb. You kind of blow all that nuclear material up into the air, and then it comes down in the clouds maybe. But, you know, maybe people breathe it in, and maybe there's a fog. And maybe you get none of that, because if it's blowing straight down and it's just going to flatten it out into a big pancake mixed in with the dirt and everything else, it won't make a nuclear explosion. So bombing a nuclear reactor doesn't make a nuclear explosion. Now, you could create a problem for the cooling system. And, I'm not saying it's a great idea. But the idea, most people have in their head the idea that, you know, if there's an explosion in a nuclear facility, what you get is 50 kilotons or megatons. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, so she's not really asking that interesting of a question, except in the kind of the popular consciousness of what a nuclear reactor is supposed to mean. What she's really asking is he willing to bomb civilian infrastructure, energy infrastructure? And here we get back to the whole issue of just war theory. I know, if you've heard me talking about this before, you probably think, oh, good Lord, you know, again with... Yes, because everything that you think about warfare and ethics is built around the principles of just war theory. The right to go to the war, the justice of the war, the jus ad bellum, to use the Latin, and then the justice of the conduct within the war, which is the jus in bello, how you fight it. The justice of the war is, do you have the right aims? Do you have a legitimate authority declared, you know, I mean, within a certain time frame? The right intention is the last resort. Is it likely to succeed? Is it proportional to what's going to happen to achieve the end result? Okay. Generally speaking, wars of self-preservation, self-defense are justified. Other wars are not. If you are the aggressor, you can't claim self-defense. Like, you know, you can't shoot somebody and then they shoot back at you and then you're like self-defense. That's Iran. Iran has been attacking the world for, you know, for 47 years. They can't, if attacked now, claim self-defense. It is the right of the world to fight back against them. Okay, that's the justice of the war. That's why when the NATO Secretary General goes on Face the Nation yesterday and says, of course we support Donald Trump. He's doing a good thing. That's what he's talking about. Then you have the justice in the war or the warfare. And here's where you have things like discriminating combatants and non-combatants. You're supposed to target combatants because they are engaged in the warfare. Civilians are not. Children, women are not, you know, you sometimes hear the phrase military age men. That's because those are people who either are fighters or could be fighters. But then you have to have proportionality, right? You can't kill 5 million of theirs because they killed 3 of ours, you know, and some other things. Also, the conduct of the war has to be aimed at end peace, has to be aimed at achieving an end state of peace with as little civilian death as possible. What's the problem with Iran? Well, think about terrorist sites like Gaza. Israel going to war in Gaza against Hamas. Sometimes is bombing schools and hospitals. You say that's wrong. Well, it would be normally, except if you build your terror cell and your rocket launchers and your equipment depot underneath a school or underneath a hospital on purpose because you know the enemy, the good guys in this case, are going to restrain themselves. You're literally using morality against your enemy in a highly immoral way. And as long as the numbers... It's a terrible way to talk about it, but it is the way you talk about it. As long as the numbers make sense, bombing a hospital, you know, killing 50 civilians in order to kill, you know, 100 militants and take out their weapons that would kill thousands, I mean, is actually within the rules. Because you're not intentionally killing them, even though you know you are. You're trying to kill the terrorists, and in the process, it's the Catholic principle here. It's called double effect. It's a philosophical principle. It says if you're trying to do a good thing and in the doing of the good thing, you knowingly have to do a bad thing along the way. That's a secondary, undesired, but unavoidable second effect. And it's allowed. Okay. So back to Iran. Iran mixes their civilian infrastructure with their military infrastructure with the same idea in mind, knowing that, A, for PR, they can claim, oh, you attacked the grid. But also, B, that Israel and America being basically good guys are going to restrain ourselves, that we're not going to try to put the whole country out of power on the first day like we could have. You know, we've been waiting, you know, like bombing the island. That's the oil depot. Waiting. Why? Because, you know, we don't want to destroy everything. We want to aim at peace, and we're hoping they'll surrender. We hope the people will rise up, whatever. So this question about what you do and do not bomb is a very important one for just war theory, because if you go in and destroy the, again, the power grid and the water supply and the desalination tanks that turn salt water into fresh water, just like on board the cruise ship, then you're attacking things that will, sure, okay, the military needs power and the military needs water and the military needs food, but also lots of civilians do too, and you may not be killing them with a bomb, but you are killing them indirectly by causing starvation or contaminated water or, you know, whatever. Okay, so back to her point.
Well, I would never take anything off the table for the president, certainly not on national television. However, there are larger plants. There's one outside of Tehran. There are others outside of other cities that are gas-fired, thermal-powered. I think the important point here is to understand the IRGC, a declared terrorist organization, not only by us, but a number of European countries, controls a huge swath of Iran's critical infrastructure, their economy, and certainly many of their governing institutions. And so to the extent we're degrading their military capability and their defense industrial base, all options should be on the table, and the president's made that very clear.
Again, principle of double effect. We're not trying to destroy the power grid to hurt the people. We're trying to destroy the power grid that supplies the military with everything they need to do what they're doing, and the IRGC is in control of all the Iranian Revolutionary National Guard. And those are the people who are loyal to the Ayatollah. And if it winds up hurting the civilians, that's bad. We wish it wouldn't happen. But if that's what needs to be done in order to bring them to their knees, get them to surrender, or in this case, you know, the threat as leverage against allowing the Strait of Hormuz to reopen for 20% of the world's oil supply, not ours, but everybody else's, like, you see the pieces and why they're doing it this way. And again, we are attacking them discriminately, or with discrimination. One of the times where being discriminating is a good thing. Actually, being discriminating is always a good thing. The only time it's bad is when you discriminate against somebody on the basis of, you know, for example, their gender or their race. But usually discrimination is a good thing. It just means judgment in action. But they are threatening to, like, attack everybody's grid, just like they have attacked everybody with the rockets. Okay, back to Margaret Brennan. Well, how do you make sure that they don't commit a war, that you don't commit war crimes? Because, you know, the Secretary General of the UN says it's a war crime to attack the grid. Well, yeah, normally it would be. Iran's not normal.
How do you ensure that this doesn't constitute a war crime, which the UN Secretary General said an attack on energy infrastructure could be? How do you make sure this is not mass punishment for innocent
people? Well, I think, you know, I would encourage and will encourage the Secretary General to point out the 20,000 to 30,000 Iranians that the regime massacred at scale, the civilian infrastructure that they're attacking.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mike Waltz makes a misstep here. That's irrelevant. The fact that Iran has killed its own civilians is relevant to the overall question of the legitimacy of their regime. It's not legitimate to the question of, you know, whether or not you can attack the grid. Because if all you are doing is hurting civilians, you can't attack the grid. But if what you're doing is, or the power plant or the oil depot or whatever, but if what you're doing is degrading their ability to operate militarily and by a significant proportion, as in it's, you know, at least 50% military and 50% civilian, you're probably on solid ground. But again, he comes back to the correct point, which is they deliberately mix these things so that we cannot target that stuff under cover of the human shields they're using of their people behind the principles of just war theory and the civilian participation in the elements of their infrastructure, which also make the military operate.
When you have a regime that has its grips in so much critical infrastructure that's using it to further not only the repression of its own people, to attack its neighbors, and in contravention of UN sanctions to march towards a nuclear weapon, then that makes those legitimate targets.
Correct.
Okay. Well, you know that in many of these places, water...
Okay. Mike Waltz knows all this stuff cold. Everything I'm saying to you this morning, he knows cold. Margaret Brennan, I'm not sure if she really gets just war theory. I mean, you know, maybe she does. Maybe some staffer briefed her. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know that in many of these places, water desalinization is linked into that energy infrastructure, civilian infrastructure. This is why it's a question of
I have no doubt that the president, the Pentagon, their team will ensure that what they target is geared towards the military infrastructure of Iran. But I have to tell you, they deliberately blend, have a long history, everything from hiding weapons under schools and hospitals to using power plants and other critical infrastructure to not only power their military, but their civilian. And they deliberately blend in contravention of international law.
Yeah. Take another example. I want to make sure this point gets real close to home. If you're operating the 50 cal on the back end of a Hummer in a convoy, can you shoot a woman who approaches your convoy? Typically, the answer is no. Well, what if the enemy makes a habit out of putting SVS on women? They have made women a target by using them militarily. You see? Can you normally bomb the civilian infrastructure, the water, the desalinization or desalination, depending on which way you prefer to pronounce it? Can you bomb the, you know, the power grid, the food supply? Typically, no. But if they deliberately mix their civilian and military infrastructure so that you won't attack it, then yes, they have rendered those things legitimate targets. Especially, again, as we're into the fourth week of this thing, we haven't bombed them yet, right? We've been waiting, leverage, threats, escalation. Don't bomb everything on the first day, you know? You can't anyway, but okay. So, yeah, he's exactly right, and, you know, it's important to understand these concepts because, as I say, just war theory is behind all of this stuff, and it's important to understand how that works. 437-1620, always feel free to disagree with me, questions, whatever. John, am I making sense on an hour of sleep, and I still got my sea legs from the cruise?
Yep, you're good.
I'm like, you see me grabbing hold of the desk over here.
Do.
It's just because, like, every once in a while I'm like, whoa, we're not moving, but my body thinks we are because that's how it works. It's weird. All right, hey, if you, ironically, if you don't get a good night's sleep... Of course, my problem wasn't a mattress. My problem was coffee and too much sleep during the week. But if you don't get a good night's sleep, okay, one of the problems or one of the issues can be the mattress. If it's consistent over a long period of time, honestly, that can definitely be the issue. And if you don't wake up in the morning feeling rested and relaxed and refreshed and good, I mean, a mattress can often solve that. I mean, and I don't want to promise, but, you know, a lot of times... Because you know what it is. You don't want to go mattress shopping because you hate the experience. It makes you feel icky. They all seem the same. They're all high pressure. They're all overpriced. How do you know what to do? It just, well, okay, that's why the sleep center exists. No commission for their salespeople. They've been around for 30 years. They're the place everybody else imitates. And they're just there to be the best price, the best selection, the best service, and to help you find the rest that you really want. So if you have been hurt by a mattress or by a mattress store, go to the Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Spring is here. Oh, yeah. And it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sunnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative,
Local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Somebody texts in at 437-1620. If Iran is attacking the world, why isn't the world attacking them back? Why is it just the U.S.? How many times? Well, it is Israel also. Don't forget Israel. How many times have Iran attacked us versus others, yet we are going after them without U.N. help? Yeah, no, that's the reason Trump is frustrated. And not with the world so much, because the world is often dumb. But you've seen, like, some of the Arab states and their reaction. And also now you're seeing some of the, like, NATO allies come on board. There's like a 21-country declaration of you better open up the Strait of Hormuz or else. And the or else is, well, it takes some time to organize. But, yeah, but that's right. That's exactly why he's frustrated with the world. Listen on it.